Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Hail Yes podcast. I am so excited about today's episode because I think it really has a lot to do with myself. And I know that there are so many of you guys who are probably getting older and understanding deeper meanings to things. And today's particular episode is about the art of seeking reciprocity. Now, if you don't know what reciprocity means or you don't know the exact definition, I'm going to read it to you now. It is the mutual exchange between two or more participants. It is a social norm in which one person gives something to another person and that person gives something back in return, either immediately or in the future. So essentially, it's just about two people giving each other the same respect, and it's where you don't feel like you're pulling more weight than the other person in, whether it's a relationship that is platonic or romantic. Now, I think when I actually sit down and try to identify when I was not given reciprocity in previous dynamics, I think I ignored a lot of different signs, and now I definitely know better. I kind of wanted to do an entire episode about a couple different bullet points that I want to go over today in seeking reciprocity and just being a giver and finding another person in your life, whether it's a friendship or a romantic dynamic that can give you what you need to where you don't feel like you're overextending yourself. I think people who are givers can also be people pleasers and tend to self-validate a lot. And a lot of the times our needs get left by the wayside because we're always in a perpetual state of doing for others. But if you actually do seek out a reciprocal relationship with people, you will find that your giving does not fall on deaf ears and that you actually can be loved the way that you love. And you just have to be able to identify how to find that. I first want to discuss the dangers of being a giver. I think it's pretty obvious, like I just said, that when you are a giver, you tend to be someone that everyone goes to. And something that I read that I think is really important is the healer needs healing, the planner needs surprises, and the giver needs to receive. Reading that really just validated so much in me because it made me realize that although you can kind of present yourself in a strong way where you are the go-to, the person, you can be even the mother of the group, or you could be the woman that everyone believes is just super resilient and powerful and doesn't need help, a lot of the times when you are looked at as that person, you're only the person that they go to for that. And they never really actually ask you, hey, how are you feeling? And oh, do you need something? And do you need help with this? And it just becomes a thing that feels like you're constantly being chipped away at. And at first you might not even notice it because if you're naturally a giver, you're not really looking for people to do things for you. It's not your love language. You're not looking to necessarily receive that when you do things. You actually do things because you love to do things. But after a while, it does start to chip away at your self-esteem because you realize that what you do for others will never be done for you with the people you've done it with. And I think that a huge danger in being a giver is if you don't set boundaries and you don't start becoming closer to those who are similar to you, you're going to always be forgotten. You're going to always be someone that people go to and don't actually give to. And you'll end up in relationship dynamics where you are being drained. A lot of the times people who are givers in relationships are always trying to make the other person happy and forget about their own happiness. And this is actually an act of self-hate. And I know that that sounds kind of like a strong statement to say, but when you practice self-love, you understand that your cup being poured into is just as important as pouring into other people's cups. And you cannot even pour into someone else's cup if yours is empty. So a danger in being a giver is you are eventually going to deplete. You are eventually going to be someone who is usually pretty bitter and will become resentful. And you don't want to be that person. So I think that something that I've really learned as well is unspoken expectation is actually premeditated resentment. think of that John Mayer song, Say What You Need to Say. I think that a really important line in that song is that he said something like, it's better to say too much than to never say what you need to say. And I think a lot of people who are givers don't actually speak up for themselves. They don't set boundaries and they don't seek in other people what they are and they don't state what they want. And I think it's important to start doing that. I read something that said that when two givers indulge in connection, it's like magic. It's alchemy. I water you, you water me. We never drain each other. We just grow. And that to me was such a beautiful statement. And it's where I want to discuss the importance of if you are a giver, it is time for you to start looking for a giver. Now, these are things that we really have to think about, especially when we are getting into relationships and when we are getting into friendships. This isn't just about tangible, physical things, but also the things that aren't seen and just felt. A lot of the times we think when we are trying to identify what reciprocity is, we're only thinking about what they do for us physically, but that's not really always what it is. A lot of the times, people who are reciprocal are people that we feel safe around, someone that is vulnerable and that we're able to be vulnerable around, someone who's generous, someone who's willing to learn and to listen. You just want someone who gives you what you give and does not withhold important things that help build connection and friendship and romantic dynamics. I think a lot of the times when we are chasing people who are unable to give us what we give, it is doing ourselves a huge disservice. And I've even had to think about this in my own dynamics recently. Someone can make me feel really wonderful, and I could really like being around them and find myself to enjoy who they are as a person, but I can also sense that they are holding back and not able to give me the parts of them that I am so willing to be able to give of myself. And that's not to say that I'm overcompensating, because you have to be able to identify overcompensation and just blatant respect and reciprocity. A lot of the times we might think that we're doing too much, but in reality, the other person is really just doing too little. If you think about the fundamentals of respect, I think you can think about someone being a decent communicator, someone being motivating and positive, someone who is understanding, willing to learn, willing to listen. And if you're struggling to get those things from a person, then maybe they are not able to practice reciprocity with you. This will lead you down a path of constant disappointment. You are going to be in dynamics where you feel like you are pulling so much more weight than the other person, and you're going to be always left confused and upset. I know for me that I have dated people who are very audacious in their disrespect, and I think it started where I felt like, oh, you know, maybe this person is just really honest and I like honesty, but in reality, no, it was just disrespect and it was them crossing boundaries. You have to really be able to understand the difference of someone being authentic and honest and upfront and, you know, instilling certain boundaries and somebody being audacious and disrespectful. I am now so aware of these things, and I try to identify them pretty early in any dynamic that I get into, whether it's a friendship or a romantic dynamic, because I want to make sure that this person understands that I am a very healthy, sound individual. And to be in my life and to have my energy and my light source and to be able to have a part of my presence is something that is a gift and not something that you can just take and disrespect and shit on. So I think that that is something you really have to be able to identify when you are welcoming new vibes and new energy into your life. Because if somebody is easily bored, easily disrespectful, a little bit audacious, a little bit snarky, and tends to constantly poo-poo the things that you really care about and the things that you really do love, it's time for you to possibly move on from that dynamic. You can't reason with people who purposefully disregard your feelings. This is something that I really want you guys to understand. And I also want to say this because I think that we can get a little bit lost in the sauce when we're discussing reciprocity. And I read something that really kind of sums up how love really is. And it said that love is never wasted, for its value does not rest upon reciprocity. And that is true. We do not love in order to receive. A lot of the times we love things that don't love us back or love things that don't love us as much. And that is sometimes the beauty and sadness of love. But When we become more sound, self-aware, and healthy individuals, I think if we know that something has the possibility of being in our lives for a long time and that we would have to nurture that and encourage that and be a part of that every day, that the least that that person can do is be reciprocal. And that is not asking too much. That is asking for the bare minimum. And a lot of the times you can't really ask. They just have it or they don't. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be upfront and talk about these things, because I think you should. I think it's important that we have discussions. A lot of people are afraid of speaking up and saying how they feel. I myself struggled with that for very long because I was always afraid that I would say too much or that I would say the wrong thing or that it would come out at a weird time. But I'm even learning now that I rather say how I feel in that moment so that that person knows exactly what I'm expecting, what I feel, and what I think about how they're treating me. And depending on their reaction will really show what happens in the long run. Now, I think that a lot of the times when I think of relationships and people struggling with reciprocity into the deeper years of their relationships, so let's just say you've been with somebody for like 5 years and you're, you know, in year five and you're noticing that that person is not pulling their weight like they used to, I think a really sad but honest truth is the conversation around contempt. And I think that familiarity really does breed contempt. And a lot of the times people take advantage of you when they know that they've had you and when they know that they can have you always. So I think a lot of the times when we're overly familiar with people, we forget how important they are to us and the correct way to behave with them. Which is why whenever you guys see these dating coaches and these different motivational speakers discussing like black cats, golden retriever, and how to conserve your energy as a woman, and that book about why men love bitches, there is a reason why these things are so popular. And it's because when you're too familiar, when you're too kind, when you're too in their face, when you're too this, too that, it breeds contempt. This person becomes familiar with you. They believe that you are a peon and that you can be walked all over and that you're gonna always be there. But you have to show people, I am not always going to be here if you're gonna treat me like shit. And sometimes it takes a little bit of pulling away and moving on for someone to really identify and understand your value in their life. And I do this quite a bit in a lot of situations that I get into. A lot of the times I will meet someone who thinks that I'm a really sweet girl and really enjoys my company, but the second they take advantage of that, I pull away my energy. And I find that they usually come chasing after that because they are fearful of me not being a part of their life anymore. Now, of course, you can look at that one of two ways. You can say, oh, well, I want someone who understands my value the first time, and you know what? Screw him, screw this. But let me tell you something about humans. They are very, very, very imperfect. And this is sometimes a subconscious thing that happens where somebody being too available, too in your face, too kind, too great will just naturally make you kind of feel like they're gonna always be there. And I'm not really sure why our bodies and our brains do that, but that's just how it feels. Because if you think about it this way, a lot of the things that we want in life, a lot of the things that we desire are things that are hard to get, are things that not everyone else has. So if you're receiving a love from someone that feels familiar, feels easy to get, and feels like, wow, this person is just so great and I barely did anything to receive this greatness, a lot of the times, you might take advantage of that person, or you maybe are that person and you're being constantly taken advantage of. I think there's a perfect amount of self-love and self-respect and communication and showing someone that you care for them that you can kind of balance to give off the impression that you care, that you're here, but you also care, love, and respect yourself. And I think a lot of the times we forget the latter. We forget to do the self-love, the self-healing, the self-respect, because we think that how we love is only in how we love others and not how we love ourselves. But the truth is, when you actually do work on yourself, and even for me, when I am looking for a partner, I try to identify how much does this person pour into themselves? Are they taking the much needed time and solitude that they need to grow? Are they working on themselves? Are they doing things that make them feel good? Are they trying to surround themselves with people who make them feel lively and happy? If I notice that someone is constantly engaging in love vibrational activities and they are avoiding being vulnerable and happy and positive, that is not the person for me. I don't care how much love they give me. It is not enough. And that is something that I definitely had noticed in so many of my past relationships, that I have dated people who showed me a great deal of love, and I was so appreciative of it. But in the long run, I became very resentful because I felt like I was absorbing so much of them and taking so much of their love and energy that they had nothing left for themselves. And it's very sad to watch. It's sad to see people forget about themselves and only think that you are the option for their happiness. I don't want to be somebody's sole reason for happiness. So you shouldn't want that for yourself. You shouldn't want to find happiness in a person. You should want someone to enhance your already natural happiness that you've either worked on or that you've just had. And I think that that is something that just shows growth and evolution. So pouring into yourself is a huge part of seeking reciprocity. If you are not pouring into yourself, you don't have any right to expect somebody to do anything for you. And you are constantly putting people on a pedestal and not allowing yourself to have the solitude, the safety, the time, and the energy. I think once you come to terms with this, you will start having better relationships and dynamics in the future. You're going to be able to identify that someone is either very stingy and greedy versus generous and loving. And you can identify these things with how they carry themselves because it's going to remind you of how you carry yourself. When you are aligned and when you are constantly doing things for yourself, you will see when others are also doing that. So you should never be insulted if somebody wants to take a day to themselves or some time alone. Why does that bother you? If anything, you should view that as a good thing. And I used to be a very anxious person. So somebody wanting solitude and space from me used to feel like an insult. But the older I got and the healthier I got, I realized that I don't want someone who wants me to consume all of their time. It is not healthy. And reciprocity is also giving people the space that they deserve and the respect that they deserve in their space. And knowing that you also would want that in return. So as long as that person is giving you the exact same thing that they're asking, you are on the right path. So I definitely think that once you work on these things, you start becoming more of a giver to yourself, you will start being able to receive in a different way. And never hesitate to ask for things. I think a lot of the times, especially when we are tapping into our feminine energy, we forget that asking for things in a specific way is actually quite endearing. And there is a way and an art to do it. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to have somebody do a task for you. And just know that when you're asking, because you're asking people who you believe are practicing the art of reciprocity with you, that they know that you will also do that for them in return another day, which is why they would not hesitate to actually help you. If you feel like a fear in asking for help, it's because you know that people would not do for you what you would do for them. So you need to get closer to being around people who would and who are willing, and you will see such a difference in your life. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Let me know any other episode ideas you guys have for me on the Hell Yes Podcast Instagram. Now let's go towards people who give us the love that we are willing to give and to get closer to having a more reciprocal relationship with people, whether it's for friendship or for romantic dynamics. I love you guys so much, and I will talk to you guys next Tuesday.